Good morning, Emmanuel. How many of you love Jesus here today? Come on. Man, it's been such a great start to the day already, just with all that God has done. As you saw in the video, we are currently in a series called So You Believe, Now What? And we're looking at these next steps on our faith journey of what does it look like? What does it require? What are some of the things that the Bible says? A couple weeks ago, Pastor Nate kicked off this series looking at following the leader. What does it look like to continue to take those steps in following Jesus? A couple weeks ago, we had Pastor Darren Poley just share a phenomenal word on the stakes in the ground. Like, these are non-negotiables as followers of Jesus. And then the last week, Pastor Nate talked about syncing up with the Spirit and just continuing to go forward and move forward as disciples of Jesus. And so today, it's an honor to be here and to share week four. The title of the message here, for those of you that are following along with notes, either on the app or you're taking them the old-fashioned way with some pen and paper, the title of the message is Free Indeed. Look at your neighbor and say, Free Indeed. I look to your other neighbor and say, I'm so glad you're here, though. I know I picked the other one first, but... Well, hey, I want to highlight as we're kicking off here today, just maybe a point of tension that some of you might have after you leave today. And usually it centers around a meal time. So let me paint a little picture here. You'll be at lunch, whether it's family and friends, and you're like, man, God, you've just been so good. I'm going to cover the meal today. You know, I just feel like the person sitting across me, my friend, my family member, whoever it might be, you're like, you know what? I think I'm going to cover the check today. Just, you've been so great. And I just want to bless them. And then the waiter or waitress comes up. They bring the check. You get your card out. You're so pumped. Like, you're like, yeah, I'm paying for this today. Like, I got this. This is great. And then the waiter and waitress looks at you and they share that it's already been paid for. Now, there are those of you in the room that might go, well, that's a blessing. That's great. I want some friends like that. But then there's this human condition that can be exposed in this moment. And it's like, but I was going to pay. I was going to take care of that. I was reminded of just this tension a couple weeks ago. I went to pay for a friend that we were at Pancheros, and he gave me a hip check that moved me to the other side of the restaurant. I thought I was going to do the tap to pay. That hip check was something serious. And there was another story. I remember my wife and I, we were trying to pay for some friends, and long story short, the waiter had locked himself then in the bathroom, and our friend was knocking on the door with the credit card, like, it's on me, right? And once again, some of us in the room might go, I want friends like that, right? But it highlights kind of this condition at points we can wrestle with, that this question that I've been kind of forced to look at in the text that we're going to be unpacking here today, that there's this tension that we have as humans, that why is it that we try to pay for something that's already been covered? Why is it that we will try to work and toil and strive for something that's already been offered to us? By something that's already been given to us. That when we look at this journey of faith, there's this tension we have where we'll return to something that maybe God has called us from. We'll go back to the foot of the cross, and the thing that that weekend or that service or that moment with the connect group, you're like, Jesus, I'm laying it at the foot of the cross. But then by Thursday, we're like, hey, I'm just gonna borrow this real quick. Or this moment we're stressing out that the very thing we left in God's hands and God's control is, we're worried because we're like, is it going to work out? Does God even see? Does he know what's going on? I don't know about his timing. I know what I wanted that timing to be. But looking at, we will stress and we will strive and try to work for something that's already been offered to us. John 16:33 says this. This is the words of Jesus, red letter talk. I have told you this, that you may have peace in me here on earth. You will have many trials, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Now, this verse highlights a phrase that can be shared often within church settings, and that is, we don't fight for victory, but we fight from a place of victory. That we see that Jesus has already conquered death, hell, and the grave. He has overcome the world, but yet, why is it that we will try to work for something or earn something that's already been given? This tension that we wrestle with. So we're going to be looking at that here today. As I said, the title of the message is Free Indeed. And the question I would just submit, what would it look like for us if we were to live a life that was free? What would it look like if our words and our actions, our lifestyle reflected the freedom we were living in, that we were people that were free indeed? So we're going to be looking at a text, John chapter 8. We're going to be going through a few verses here. What I love about the book of John is one of the first four books in the New Testament known as the Gospels. And I love how John so eloquently captures these different stories of Jesus and his life on earth and his ministry. And the setting that we're going to be stepping into, it's a text that over the past year we've gone through at one point here on the weekend here at Emmanuel. But it's a text of where there's an individual that is brought forward that if you're looking at it just at surface level value, you're like, well, this is a story about this person and this young lady. But what we recognize in Jesus in his scope and scale and ability to call out the condition of the heart is addressing the crowd. It's addressing the other individual that was trying to hide from this story. And I just would encourage you just to continue to look into what Jesus is addressing here as we continue on with this morning of this topic of being free indeed. John chapter 8, verse 1 through 11. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning, he was back again at the temple. A crowd had soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? Verse 6, they were trying to trap him into saying something that they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer. So he stood up and said, all right, let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. We see in this moment, Jesus is addressing the audience. He's addressing the crowd because he is recognizing this is a message that everybody needs to hear. This is a message, this is a challenge that's not for the young lady in front of him, but it's for everyone in the vicinity that can hear the voice of Jesus. And he's challenging him. He's seeing the condition of the heart. He's recognizing the obstacles and the burdens in this moment. So he challenges them with this. Those who have never sinned, throw the first stone. And then he stooped down and wrote in the dust. Verse 9, when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Verse 10, then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. It's such a powerful phrase because as we are people that are stepping into the freedom that Christ offers us, it's an invitation to move forward, but to not step back. It's an invitation to step forward in the freedom that Christ offers, not return back to an old way of living, an old mindset, old habits, but it's this invitation to go, to move forward, to take a step, to leave this life of sin. And once again, this is Jesus addressing this audience and crowd as a whole as he speaks to this young lady. But it's one that even resonates to us today. Because as we saw in the tension just in our intro at the beginning of this morning, we recognize that as humans, we have this propensity to return to something that God has asked us to leave. That we have this propensity to go back and pick up something that God asked us to leave behind. And Jesus, with these words of encouragement, go and leave this life and sin, go and sin no more. Now we see a parallel text. Pastor Nate has done a phenomenal job in the last couple of weeks of using a parallel text of the Old Testament of Moses and the Israelites. Homework assignment for you all here today. Numbers chapter 11 will be one that I would encourage you, a story to go and check out. Now, Numbers chapter 11, it highlights pettiness in the Bible at a really just fun level, if you will. So Moses has led Israel out of bondage and oppression in Egypt. They have seen the Red Sea part. They have seen all miracle after miracle after miracle. But then they get a little hangry. Like some of you are here right now. You're like, okay, Pastor, let's go. I got lunch appointments. They got a little hangry. And this was what they said. It wasn't just, hey, we're hungry. The pettiness reached a level of, if we were just back in oppression, at least we would have had some mangoes. If we were back in bondage, at least we would have had. And they begin to dream and forget about where they had come from because of a little opposition. And it highlights this in other scriptures as well. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. The author, the Apostle Paul, writes it this way: Christ has truly set you free. Like, it's like for real life. Like, Jesus has set us free. Now make sure you stay free. And don't get so tied up again in the slavery of the law. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything. Everybody say everything. That hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with the perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Notice, like, even today, it's not focusing on a great podcast or a great book. Although those are great supplements that encourage us in our walk in faith, it's a reminder to keep our eyes on Jesus, to keep moving forward. Now, why are these authors highlighting this, the sin that so easily entangles? To make sure that you remain free, to not return back. Because it highlights once again a tension that no matter where you're at in your faith journey, I think a lot of us can find ourselves in this wrestling match. And there's just a couple things that I just wanted to share here. The first tension is there's this tendency we have to drift from the truth of what God has done. All of us here, we're moving at the speed of life. There's the schedules and the rhythms and the new expectations and opportunities and all our decisions. And yes, and as we're moving at the speed of life, it is so easy to begin to drift little by little away from those moments where we met with God, where we saw God do the miraculous. And all of a sudden we begin to wrestle with this element of faith amnesia, forgetting what God has done as we slowly drift if we are not focused to remain and fight for that freedom, to fight to stay in that spot, to fight to keep moving forward. We begin to drift. The second one is we begin to defy the truth. We tend to defy the truth. And this is what God has spoken or what God has asked of us, right? We begin to go, well, God, if that's really you, you wouldn't ask me to give that up. If you really cared, Lord, if you saw what's happening right now, like, I don't know if that was really God. And we begin to defy, and this even the moments like in the scripture where there's the crystal clarity, we're like, well, I don't know if that applies to me. I don't know if it was really meant in that context, but it's recognizing that if we are not fighting to remain where God has us to fight for the freedom, we will begin to defy. And the third one, we'll begin to deny the truth of who God is. We will declare the goodness of God in the mountaintops, but those valley seasons, if we are not careful, we will tend to deny the truth. Is God good? Is God faithful? God, do you see me? So when the scriptures, Galatians 5, Hebrews 12, we see in the other examples, there is this warning of fight to remain free. You gotta put in some work. Because as humans, we have this propensity to drift, to defy, and to deny that we don't just stumble into freedom. That there's an element of continuing to take steps forward with what Christ has called us to do. Now, John chapter 8, 31 through 36, Jesus continues, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So Jesus is literally rolling out a blueprint for living this life of freedom, to taking these steps. Like, if you know my word, if you spend time in my word, you hold to these teachings, you put this into practice, you are truly my disciples. Now humans, Jesus is speaking this, and once again, hindsight's 20/20. Like, why would you question that? Great question, because that's what happens in the next verse. Verse 33, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Now, Jesus is a much better human than I am, the patience he has. Because he instead of going, I literally just gave you the blueprint. He pauses, and the patience in his next response can be heard when he says, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you are free indeed. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. So freedom that Christ is talking about, there's some requirements, some work to do on our end. When you look at freedom requires us a couple things. The first one, freedom requires us to walk away from where we were. It requires a step forward towards Jesus, not this step of retreat or backpedaling. Like, all right, Jesus, and we see this in scripture where it's like, well, Jesus, I'll come follow you, but let me go handle some business first. Let me take care of this first. But when we step into freedom, it's stepping away from where we were. The second one is, if we're walking away from where we were, it's to let go of what we have done. This speaks to that guilt and shame that will try to cause you to hold on to the thing that Jesus said, hey, I paid for that. Hey, I know you've been identified as that, like that mistake or that shortcoming. Like, I don't see you that way. You can let it go now. Because what we'll do is go, well, Jesus, you don't know my family history. You know, Lord, do you know my family tree? You know what I've done? You know that private, that text group chat I've been in? Lord, you know all of it. And Jesus says, yes. Romans highlights this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Even at our worst, Jesus gave his best. So when he's asking you to let go, it's not this finger pointing at us like, let it go. It's the nails, scarred hands, open wide saying, you can trust me with this. You can trust me. I think there's an element that we are afraid to let go of certain things because we have lived so long in brokenness and bondage that we don't actually know what it's like to live a life of freedom. That we are so like, well, I'm used to this feeling. I've learned how to cope and manage. But Lord, I don't know what freedom, that sounds like a different expectation. And I don't want expectation. I just, you know what? I'm good here. That's to the person on my left today. That's for the person in the balcony. Like, freedom requires us to let go of what we've done. And then the third one, which I say for me is personally the most difficult, to open up to what God has done for us. Now, here's why I say that. When you're following Jesus and you're taking those steps towards in faith and obedience, and the light, it says it in here, John 8:12, it says, Jesus spoke to the people once more, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Now, the closer you get to Jesus and the brighter that light shines, the more aware how broken you are. Now, it's good news today, but if you allow guilt and shame to continue to speak in, it's going, ooh, that's too good for me. That's too good for me. I don't know, like, Lord, I don't know if I'm ready to let go of this part, so I'm gonna stay in this space in my faith journey. Have you ever met a friend, like you go back, like, from high school, and they're still wearing the Letterman jacket, and you're like, yo, bro, it's like a decade later. That a lot of times, though, when it comes to our faith journey, we come to this spot where we're going, like, okay, Lord, I'm comfortable here. I wanna keep this on, because I don't wanna open myself up to what else might be as I take steps forward with you. That there's this fear, but what faith or what freedom requires of us to be a free person, to be free indeed, is to open up to what God has done, is wanting to do in our life. And it's going to require a laying down, a letting go of submission and surrender. But it's recognizing, God, as I do this, it's an act of faith because I know that you, what you have is better than whatever it is that I'm laying down. So freedom requires us to walk away, to let go and to open up. Now, this can best be seen as well that I'll put it this way. Everyone has that roommate or that spouse that if company's coming over is a little bit more nervous to show the house or the apartment than the other. And it usually is like, we have company, oh my gosh, I can't believe we have people coming over. Do you see our house? They're gonna kick us out of the church for this. Like, if this gets to the pastor or my connect group leader, I can't imagine, oh, the dog threw up again. Oh no, like now we have to buy a new carpet. We have to do that. And there's all this back and forth. And then there's always the one that's like the trigger, right? It's fine. It looks great. Like, babe, you were just gossiping about that person earlier. Why are we giving care then, right? That's another message, right? That will be. But there's this fear that almost like to follow Jesus, that it has to be in order, that it has to be perfect, that it has to be at this level
of I have it all together before I take that step to let Jesus in. But what we know to be true about Jesus, especially the freedom that we step into, the free indeed people, is recognizing that it's just, Jesus, I need you. I want you. That in spite of all that my shortcomings, that Lord, you still offer your grace and your mercy, and that I am free from the bondage of my sin, my doubts, and my fear because of what you've done. Freedom requires us to walk away, to let go, and to open up. When it comes to freedom we have in Christ and through Christ, it's recognizing we did not earn it, but it was given to us by the price that he paid for us. It's one of the most core things we can have as followers of Jesus, recognizing we did not earn it by church attendance, KB giving, missions trips. We did not earn it by our deeds, but it was given to us by what Jesus paid for us. And when it comes with freedom, and that can be such a humbling thing for us to begin to accept and bring that in. It's already been taken care of. Why do we have to fight for something that's already been paid for? We are free indeed. As we get ready to close here today, I was reminded of a story. Several years ago, we had a comedian, Michael Jr., attend Emmanuel for a volunteer event. And dude was like funny, not like, ha, 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 funny, like I'm crying, like people are falling out of their seats funny. And it was this moment we had, like, it was just an awesome night honoring volunteers. But then I got a little angry at him because he set me up. He set me up, like, we're laughing. It was like, ha, ha, joke, 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 joke. Serious. And in this moment, halfway through, he goes, okay, there are those of you that here that are struggling with pride, and here's how you know that's you. He goes, I want you to go to the back at my merch table, and I want you to ask for a free book. And I just start feeling the Holy Spirit tap me, Phil. And then the excuses came. Oh, well, God, I'm a staff. Can you imagine if a staff member with a badge went to the back and asked for a free book? They're probably thinking, I'm like, I don't even really need it. And all the people pleasing, what people thought, all this stuff, right? And God in his patience just, Phil, you done? And I kept going, and the message kept going on, and we got to more jokes, and I'm like, I'm just going to wait this out, right? How many of you have been there before? You're like, God, I'm going to wait God out. If you're in that spot, good luck, because it's not... God has more grace than we do sin. And I remember, though, we get to the end, and I just went, okay, God. And I stood up, and I could just sense tears welling up in my eye over a book. And I walked to the back, and I get to the table, and I try to be slick with it. I went, can I have a free book? And God, in a sense of humor, the volunteer goes, what? I would like a free book. I'm choking up and I feel the tears in my eyes as I'm like, God, like I had no idea this was in my heart. And I remember getting that book and I just felt like something like walls like collapsing around my heart. Because God had exposed in my heart in that moment, it wasn't a gift issue, it was a reception issue. And my inability to receive what God had already offered. And I just wonder how many of us here today are missing out on the joy, the peace, and the gratitude of living a life that's free because our inability to receive what God is offering. And that day, it changed the game for me. It was a spiritual mile marker moment for me as I look back, recognizing that this pride that I allowed to build up in my heart that had kept me from receiving what God had already offered. So I just have a challenge here this week. I got a couple questions I'd love for you to wrestle with. And I love submitting questions because they're only as applicable as you're willing to be honest with them. And the first question when it comes to living a life that's free indeed, what would it look like for us to live a life of gratitude that only forgiven people understand? Here's what I mean by that. You're in your workplace, your job, and someone's like, okay, like, hey, this whole thankful thing, this gratitude thing, it seems like a little much, all right? Like, you're thanking God for your God for everything. Like, what is it that causes you to be this thankful and cheery, all this stuff? And Gratitude says this. Gratitude is, and this is how I've defined it recently in my life. It's, God, I wanted a wife, but you really outdid it with Audrey. God, I was looking for a home church, but you really outdid yourself with Emmanuel. It's, God, I was just expecting this, but you didn't have to go above and beyond the way you have. In gratitude, it's recognizing what God's already done. Now, forgiven people, they get this. It's fun when you have those conversations as you are a person of thankfulness and gratitude. They go, ooh, where do you go to church? You're a follower of Jesus, aren't you? And it's recognizing that this level of gratitude that only forgiven people understand. What would it look like for us to live a life of peace that only found people understand? I think one of the greatest just obstacles we have, or just things that have just broken my heart for especially young followers of Jesus, is when we have forgotten that we are found. That we've been found, that all throughout scripture we see God's heart for lost people. And that we have all been found. There's something about being found that it communicates value. It communicates that you are seen. And there's a peace that we have as followers of Christ, knowing that God sees us. We're not overlooked. We're not alone. And there's a peace that he's with us. And when you step into those moments and those conversations this week that you're like, Lord, only you knew we're coming, that there's a peace that you're like, God, you're with me. You said, you set a table in the presence of my enemies, that in the valley, you're with me. That though I go through these storms, that Lord, you're in the boat. But it's to recognize there's a peace that we have. What would it look like to be people of gratitude, or to live a life of gratitude that only forgiven people understand? What would it look like to live a life of peace that only found people understand? What would it look like to live a life of joy that only free people understand? The joy element could play itself out like this. It's a coworker, friend. Do you not see everything that's going on in our world? Do you not see what's going on in our community and the brokenness and the hurt? Do you not see this? Like, do you even have social media? Are you even watching the news? Like, what is it? Do you not see, how can you, is this a fake smile? Is this a fake happiness? Is this surface level? Like, where is this coming from? To which, for people that are free indeed, we recognize that this weight, this stress, maybe this external stuff that could find its way into robbing us of a joy and a peace and a gratitude in our hearts and our minds, we find a joy of recognizing that God's still in control. That I recognize it, and my friend Will Jones has this great quote. I want to give him credit for it. It's, even in those moments, for those of you that might be wrestling with that, it's, you got to pray about it before you post about it. That even as you find those moments, that these external elements of things that would just war at your heart and your mind, that as you begin to lean into prayer, there's a joy that's restored. Because now you're highlighting and reminding that, God, you're here, you're with it, you're in control. You see us, God. You've never left us or forsaken us, Lord. I can choose joy in spite of this because, God, you're still with us. What would it look like to live a life of joy that only free people understand? Emmanuel, it's already been covered. We don't have to fight for something that's already been offered to us. We don't have to toil and work for something that's already been freely given to us. As Jesus encouraged this young woman to go, to step into this freedom, I believe Jesus here today is encouraging us here in this room and online at locations. What would it look like to live a life that is free indeed? Well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm walking through. You don't know my story. You don't know what I'm navigating. I don't, but God does. And as followers of Christ, as we continue to take steps forward, it might feel like we're failing forward. It might feel like at points that we're just stumbling forward, but you're moving forward. John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. I'm gonna invite you all to stand up as we get ready to close here today. What we're going to do is we're going to step into a moment of worship, just as an overflow of declaring and thanking God for all that he's done, the freedom that we experience through this relationship we have with Jesus. And just as an overflow, it will take a couple minutes here, and then Pastor Ali and then the host pastors at our locations will come and get ready to close and give us some next steps. But the whole purpose, a series of So You Believe Now, what are those next steps? That we are people that are free indeed, not by what we have done, but what Jesus has done. That we don't have to fight for something that's already been offered to us. That we can walk away from those things that God is calling us to step away from. We can let go of those things that have held on to us and identified us. We can let it go because Jesus is extending these nail-scarred hands to you and saying, I got you. You don't have to walk around with this weight that you've been walking around with. And even for those of you that have gone back and picked up those things that you laid down before, it's a reminder that we have a patient God. But it's an encouragement then to lay it back down. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to share a prayer of encouragement as we go into this time of worship, and then we'll close at the end of the song. And if you feel comfortable with it, I'd encourage you to extend your hands up like this, as if you're like, I'm free. I'm free indeed. Just a sign of surrender, submission to who God is and what he's going to do here this next few moments. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you. We thank you for what you've done. Lord, we thank you for this freedom that we have access to by what your son Jesus has already done for us. Lord, and we just pray that even in this moment right now, you would remind us, God, that there'd be an attitude of gratitude that would flow out of our, God, that would be heard in our song and our praise, Lord God, that there would be a peace that would begin to descend upon each and every person here in this moment, Lord God, that there would be a restoration of joy, Lord God, where there has been cynicism and doubt and anger and bitterness, Lord God, maybe that's been triggered by things of the external. Lord, we pray that joy would be restored in this moment, Lord God, as we lift up this song of worship and praise, Lord God, and we just pray that once again, Lord God, the things that we have let go, God, may you give us a holy resiliency and grit to not pick it back up, that we would have a faith and a trust that you are who you say you are, that we would leave it at the foot of the cross, we would leave it in your hands, we will not feel the stress to go pick it back up, Lord God, but we would see that you would continue to do the miraculous in our lives, in our homes, in our jobs, in our community, Lord God. So we give you the glory and the honor and the praise for who you are and what you've done. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We pray that you are encouraged and blessed by today's message. Check out emmanuelcc.org for faith resources, how to get plugged into the community, or to join us live on Sundays at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. We are so excited to see what God is going to do. The best is yet to come.